I'd like to use the time to have more fellowship concerning these important, wonderful verses that our brother has shared with us. And I hope that we will all read it many times, because it's not enough just to read it once, twice, but we have to let this word be written in our heart. Right? We have seen that God is speaking directly to His people here. I hope you're all impressed with that. Meaning to say that we have to be a group of people to whom God can speak what is in His heart to you. I don't want to hear what I want to hear. I want to hear what He wants to say. We all need to have such a heart, a desire to hear the Lord speaking. If you don't have that desire, I'm not sure you will hear His speaking. This is why it's written, "He who has an ear, let him hear." We don't have an itching ears to hear just stories, fairy tales. No, these are very important words, short and to the point. The Lord is telling us a very important thing of who He is. For example, He says, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. The faithful witness. This is talking about our Lord's life before God. So when He was on this earth, He never spoke anything that is of Himself. No, He didn't add anything that is out of Himself. He says, what I have spoken to you is what I heard from the Father. And He even said, it was the Father in me speaking. And He said, a son can of himself do nothing. I have to repent because many times I've done many things of myself. But the Lord Jesus says, the son can of himself do nothing. But only what he sees the Father did or does, that he does. Many times, you and I, we do things according to our imagination, what we think is right. Never ask the Father, what do you want me to do? How do you want it done? And He even says, the works that I do, it's not me, it is the Father that works in me. How wonderful. This is the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why He never gets the glory for Himself. He didn't want to impress people. No. But whatever He did, it was for the glory and expression of the Father. It was His Father's will. No wonder the Lord can say, I and my Father are two? Are one. How one? He said, if you see me, who do you see? You see the Father. But when you see me, you see me. I don't want anybody to see me. Do you? You want to impress people with yourself? No. Everything our Lord Jesus Christ did, and whatever He says, whether He is with the disciples or with so many people, it was the Father speaking in Him. What a wonderful person. That's why He is faithful. none of us are as faithful as the Lord. And the apostles, like John, he had learned through all these years, because he had seen how the Lord Jesus Christ lived and spoke. He was with him all this time. A wonderful experience that you and I may not have. But today, the only way for us to do it is what John says, I was in the Spirit. How often are you in the Spirit when you do things at home with the children? Right? In the family, do we do things really in the Spirit? So I can picture John being in the island of Patmos. It's not easy, but he was in spirit. I don't think I'll be in the spirit if I'm in Patmos. No. But John was in spirit, because if he was not in the spirit, how can the Lord talk to him? It's impossible. If I was in the flesh, sitting at home watching TV, and all of a sudden I hear a voice speaking to me, I don't think I will have an ear to hear what the Spirit and what the Lord is going to speak to me. Do you think so? No. The Lord can only speak to you in a time when you are in the Spirit. Otherwise, you cannot hear him speaking. So all these little phrases are very important for us to experience. To be a faithful witness is not simple. A witness is someone who didn't study to be a witness. You cannot study to be a witness. You need to see to be a witness. If you have not seen the situation, the judge will not believe you. Were you there when this happened? Did you see it? Did you take a video? How can you prove it? We said so many things without evidence. Today's messages in Christianity, there are no witnesses. There are no witnesses. They're Bible teachers. It's interpretation of the Bible. I have gone through that for so many years. Wonderful interpretation. But what is the result, the fruit? And I saw things different than what was spoken. You speak one thing, and you do another thing. And how can you compromise these two? Right. He's a witness. We all need to be such witnesses. Right. They witness the crucifixion of the Lord. That is why when they were choosing someone to replace Judas, what was the qualification? He who knows the Bible, who read the scriptures, a Pharisee, a scribe, what was it? With the Lord Jesus from the very beginning. In his ministry, who witnesses his suffering on the cross. Today, when we talk about the cross, we have no feeling of the Lord's suffering. Well, yeah, he died for me, and he shed his precious blood, praise the Lord. But we never saw it. If you see that crucifixion, if you were standing right there as John was there, I don't know where the other apostles were, maybe from afar, but John was right there. He saw and he heard. And the Lord even spoke to him that moment concerning Mary, his mother. That will leave a lifetime impression on this man. And then they saw the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I talk about the resurrection, I say, oh, somebody raised from the dead. Right. When the Lord Jesus brought forth Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11, I don't think any of them will ever forget that. Would you? Because there were witnesses. Wow. Somebody who was dead and already was stinking. Martha says, no, no, Lord, don't open a grave. He already stinks. Well, the Lord says, okay, let's not do it. The Lord didn't say that. He says, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't even have to shout, Lazarus, no. Just the word out of his mouth is good enough. It's the word of his power. An amazing experience. Too bad we were not there. But John wrote it. And praise the Lord, the dead walked out. Wasn't that impressive? Witnesses. And then they saw the Lord's ascension. I don't know how the Lord did it, but yes. But he did it. Everything was created by him, through him, and unto him. Even the gravitational power and strength cannot hold him. He just went up. Can you do that? How high can you jump? 2 feet? But the Lord just went up. And they witnessed that. So they saw the life of our Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. And I hope that we all will live such a life as much as we could to express the life of Christ within us, to be a faithful witness that Jesus lives, because people would ask you, how do you know Jesus is alive? Where is he? Show me. Have you ever been asked? Yeah, what do you say? Well, he's not here today, right? Maybe you would say that. But who says he's not here? Where is he? Ah, how come I don't see it?
You need to have your eyes open.
Okay. Lord, open my eyes so I'm going to see. Now my eyes is open. Maybe the problem is not just my eyes. Maybe the problem is you're not expressing Christ. Maybe it's both. Maybe I was blind and you're not expressing Christ. You cannot blame me and I cannot blame you. But we all need to be faithful witnesses. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Can I say that? Can we say that? It is something that we see here in the book of Revelation. First thing about the Lord Jesus is that he is a faithful witness all the way to the end, like our brothers said. unto death. This is why the Lord told the church in Smyrna, be faithful unto death, and you will receive the crown of life. Be faithful unto death. Not easy. Right? But this is the introduction of this Jesus Christ here. Not a redeemer, but a faithful one. And then the second point is what? The firstborn from among the dead. Firstborn. Was he born twice? Firstly, he is the begotten Son of God. Then he became the firstborn. As the only begotten Son of God, he is God himself. He was in the beginning with God, and he was God. But he became a man. And that man is a real man, just like you and me. But God's intention is to make you, as a man, to be born again, to become the Son of God. So the Lord Jesus has to be born as the firstborn, not through Mary, but through the resurrection from the dead. And through the resurrection, he became the firstborn Son of God as a man. And we became the many brethren. This is why Peter says we were born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that is for the church. If you read Acts chapter 13, verse 33, you will see Jesus Christ was the firstborn from among the dead. And you read Romans chapter 8, right? We will be conformed to the firstborn Son of God. And he is the firstborn among many brethren. Otherwise, how can you and I become children of God to be born again? In our humanity, we need to see this. In Colossians says in chapter 1, as the firstborn from the dead, he is the head of the body, the new creation, the new man, to bring forth a new humanity through the power of resurrection. This is why the Lord Jesus has to go through death and resurrect again. Through death, he removed all the negative things, the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But through the power of his resurrection, he brought forth a new creation. Isn't that wonderful? The death took care of the old creation, but the resurrection brought forth the new creation, the church. Everything that the Lord has done is just marvelous, divine, which nobody else could do. For you and me, death is the end. Death is the end. But for him, it's just the end of the old creation, but in resurrection, a new man was brought forth. So when you were baptized into the water, you don't stay there, you're drowned. No. You're baptized into his death, and when you got out of the water, you're resurrected with him and walk in the newness of life. To be what? To be the church. So the church must be the church in the power of his resurrection. No wonder Paul says, I want to know him and the what?
The power of his resurrection.
What for? I will tell you, okay, according to my natural concept, then you have to die first and then rise again. What would you tell me? Yes, I did. I got buried with him and now I'm resurrected with him. to become the body of Christ. And he's the firstborn, and we are many brethren. And he's the head of the body, and that he, in the body, might have the preeminence. Is he really the preeminent here in Fountain Valley? Or are you the preeminent one? All of this has to do with Christ being the firstborn. As a faithful witness, it is toward God. But as the firstborn from among the dead, it's for us, for the church. Read Colossians chapter 1. That in all things he might have the preeminence, the head over all things to the church. Who is the head here? Who is the head? In all the groups today in Christianity, who is the head? Christ? No, it's man. The pastor or whoever in the Roman Catholic Church, who is the head? The Pope. But what about us? Who is walking in the midst? Right. And then toward the world in his ascension to the throne. So in his humanity, in his death and resurrection, and now in his ascension, sitting on the throne, he is the ruler over the kings of the earth. Don't think these people, their own political parties, are ruling. They're fake. They're fake. Christ is the one who is the ruler over the kings of the earth. So don't be afraid of what's happening. Right? What's happening? I don't know what it is, but it's evil, fallen, corrupt, lawless. You think the Lord didn't know? The Lord knew. He is going to make all the enemies his footstool. So him sitting on the throne in Revelation chapter 5, the Lord ascended there. That is the chapter, the only chapter that talks about what happened after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not to be the head of the church, because he already was in his capacity as the resurrected one. But he's the ruler over the kings of the earth. Don't think these people are ruling, no. Yes, outwardly it seems they are, but what kind of a job are they doing? Ruling? No. They just want to be the ruler, and everybody must be their slaves and do all the lawless things that these people want them to do. No. You have to see the ascension of Christ is to be made ruler over the kings of the earth and to judge them. In three sentences, the Lord showed us his incarnation, the purpose, is to express God. No one has ever seen God but the only begotten of the Father who came from the Father's bosom. He defined him. You want to know God, you have to know the Lord Jesus, because he is the whole definition of the living God. He not only defines God, he lived him out. He expressed him in everything that he do. He showed who God is. It's just amazing. So eventually he is really God himself as the Son of God. And the Lord said, what? I am the Alpha and the Omega. What is Alpha and Omega, Moses?
It's Greek letters.
Yeah, so the Lord is only the first letter and the last letter?
No, the whole beginning to end.
Exactly. What does it mean? Is alpha and omega? Is only ABC and XYZ and everything in between is nothing? No, that means he is everything. Alpha and omega expresses that our Christ is everything. He is all and he is in all. He is everything to us. Every alp of it. And all the combinations of the alphabet is Christ. That means he's everything to you. Whatever you need. Bread, B-R-E-A-D. Who is that B-R-E-A-D? It's Christ. What about L-I-F-E? It's Christ. What is P-E-A-C-E? Is also Christ. What about G-O-D? He's also God. He's Christ. He's from Alpha all the way to Omega. He's everything. He's everything. Is he everything to you? What do you need? W-I-S-D-O-M? You need that? Or who is it?
Christ.
It's Christ. Christ is everything. He's all, he's in all. In this new man, Christ is everything. You have to see this, you have to learn this. He's everything. Right? He's the beginning. I have seen a lot of people who had a very good beginning many years ago, at the start of the church life in Los Angeles. There's so many wonderful brothers. Good beginning. But if you have a good beginning, that does mean that you have a good ending. No guarantee. How many started in your class, Sharon? Sarah? Huh? Yes, in your school, in university, in San Diego. Everyone graduated?
No.
So they had a good beginning, but they didn't have a good ending. I'd rather have not a very good beginning, but a good ending. Instead of having a good beginning and a terrible ending. And this is what happened to the seven churches. In the beginning it was good. They have the first love, the best love. And somewhere along the way they lost. They left. No, they lost. They left the first love. And ended up losing the golden lampstand. So, is he the beginning only for you? What did Paul say in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, for example? He who started a good work in you will also finish it. But it depends on you. For him to finish it is not a problem. This is the end. But am I willing to go with him to the end? Even in Romans chapter 9 it says what? He will finish his work quickly. He will finish his work. Many times I do things in the beginning and I got distracted and forgot about it. Have you ever experienced that? You got distracted by something else and you forgot about what you have started. Or you change your mind. How many times did you change your mind? Too many times. Do you think our God changed so many times like you do? Naomi. Our God will never change his mind. From the start to the end, he is going to finish his work. We have to believe in him. Lord, finish your job with us. You start it, and now you're going to finish it. You're not going to quit halfway. If you do, don't do it with me, okay? I want you to finish your job in me, what you have started. I don't want to quit. I've seen too many people quitting. Got stuck. What he started with Martin Luther during the time of Reformation, so many people got stuck for 500-600 years. What God was doing, they got stuck there. So many people got stuck in that group that, you know what I'm talking about. They got stuck. Super glue there. It's a super glue. Gorilla glue. You can't come out. But we follow the Lamb all the way to the heavenly Mount Zion. Don't get stuck somewhere. Because the Lamb is moving all the time forward. Have you ever seen a Lamb just stand on one place the whole lifetime? Did you ever get stuck in one place? No. You keep on going. Because you're alive, you're living. Our Lord wants to finish the course. He finished his job in 3.5 years. He said, it is done. It's finished. But me, after 80 years, it's still not done. I have to hide my face. He did it in 3.5 years. He gave me 80 years, and I'm still not done. I'm super slow, like a turtle, wasting so much of my time. I repent. How much time did we waste? Did the Lord waste any time when he was on this earth? That's why you could finish the work in 3.5 years. He started as a priest in his priestly service when he was 30, according to the word of God. Like John the Baptist. And he finished his priestly service in 3.5 years. Isn't that wonderful? 3.5 years is a very scriptural number. The last 7 years is divided into what? 3.5 and 3.5. Do you want the last 3.5 years to be longer than 3.5 years?
No.
How about 30 years? 30 years of the great day of God's wrath. Huh? You think the Lord will extend it? No. 3.5 years, that's good enough. The Lord did it in 3.5 years. So do you think if the Lord gave us another 50 years, we'll finish the work? You would say, oh, I got another 50 years now, I can take my vacation. First thing I'll do if the extension comes, I'll take a vacation. But the Lord, no, he will finish the job.
Amen.
He is the beginning of our faith. And he will finish it. He's the author and he's the finisher. And if he delays, it's because of you he delays, for your sake. This is what Peter says. Do you want him to delay?
No.
You sure? Who wants him to delay his return, please? Raise up your hand. Oh, Lord, don't come back so soon. I still have a lot of work that I like to do. I still like to visit this place. I still like to go there. And I still, oh, wow, there's so many things and places I need to go and take 10 more cruises. This is what we are planning. But may the Lord finish His work with us quickly. But without our cooperation, it's not possible. We are delaying His coming. We, the people of God, no wonder Peter says to hasten the day of His return. Are you doing that? Are we doing that? Or are we delaying His coming? But you may delay, but the Lord is not going to delay anymore because there is a limit, the appointed time. This is why even God, when He sent His only begotten Son, it says at the appointed time, when the time comes, God sent His only begotten Son to come. 3 days the Lord allowed Christ to rest in the grave. The third day He has to rise from the dead. The Lord cannot tell the Father, oh, give me one more week of rest. Not possible. No, it's not possible. The Lord has to ascend 40 days after He rose from the dead. Why? To keep the feast of the Pentecost. It's all appointed. No delay. No delay. Right. So the Lord has a great work to do with us. And the book of Revelation tells us His goal is to make us kings and priests, or a kingdom of priests. You think it's easy? You have been practicing, and we all have, or tried to practice a priesthood. Easy? Is it easy? No, it is not easy. You need to prepare, you need to labor, and we have not yet even covered all the aspects of priesthood. No. Maybe we should, but. Right. So don't think it is an easy task for the Lord. He is going to make you kings and priests, or a kingdom of priests. Some translation says a kingdom of priests, which is also right. Exactly what He wanted in Exodus chapter 19. But look what happened to Israel in the Old Covenant. They messed it up so badly. At the end, God has to give it up. But what about the kingdom of priests today? Who cares about that today? Steve Hazen, have you heard any other places talking about, oh, we have to be Zion, the kingdom of priests? No, because nobody cared. So we need to redeem the time to practice and to be made kings and priests, and especially here in chapter 1, because it's about the priesthood. God wants not a church, but a kingdom of priests. Zion, the city of the great King, heavenly Jerusalem. It is the building of the temple of God with a golden lampstand right there, which we need to see. And I hope that through this book of Revelation tonight and in these coming days, we can all see something and give ourselves to it. Don't just listen and then go home and forget about it. But if you had an ear to hear, then listen to what he has to say in this book and do it and keep his word. Well, praise the Lord. Time is up. It's 9 o'clock, right? Praise the Lord. Have some prayers.